Hello, and welcome to Circle of Parks podcast, episode number 147. Today, we are discussing Disney lingo and abbreviations by explaining what they mean. There is far too much to see and do. We are here to help guide you through. But before we do that, we must talk Disney merch. So this week on DisneyStore.com, they have a new Sabine Wren special edition doll from Star Wars. It is priced at $49.99, inspired by the acclaimed story from a galaxy far, far away. It's a special edition doll exclusive series that brings to life the most iconic heroes in incredible, stunning detail. The Mandalorian warrior Sabine Wren was a revolutionary leader, explosives expert, and graffiti artist. Here she is presented complete with her purple hair, armor, lightsaber, detachable helmet, and accessories. So again, go check that out at DisneyStore.com. And that is this week's Disney merch. We also have merch. So if you go to our website, CircleOfParks.com, click on merch, takes you directly to TeePublic. You can find things such as stickers, coffee mugs, sweatshirts, t-shirts, and more. So please go check that out.
Can I get this doll?
It's up to you.
So, the Mandalorian planet, the Mandalore, that sounded weird, but the people from planet Mandalore are Mandalorians, right? They have such a rich history and traumatic history that just watching The Mandalorian or the new series Ahsoka, you got to go back and go way back to the cartoon Clone Wars and go back to Star Wars Rebels. Really talks a lot more. I ain't gonna go back and watch them because it's been so long, but it's just, it's so, I think the Mandalorian people and the story of Mandalore, it's just so fascinating, but it is traumatic at the same time.
Right.
So it's, yeah, I gotta go back and watch those because it's just, there's so much detail there and details to the story that they get lost. And I want to go back and, you know, watch them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw that, you know, and, you know, May the 4th be with you is coming up in a couple of days. So that's why I thought I'd do that for
Disney. I went to Hollywood Studios last year on May the 4th. That was interesting. Lots of people there. So, if you're new here, thank you for joining us. Episode number 147. I'm Zach.
I'm Brittany.
And we do this show every single week. We hope to help you have a better Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. Bring some Disney magic to your week. Try to break your week up. And just kind of bring you to Disney and just kind of cure the Disney blues for, even if it's just temporary.
Yes.
So last week, how this show idea came about, last week I was talking about the e-ticket attraction, right?
Right.
And it got us thinking, there's a lot of Disney lingo and abbreviations that if you don't, if you're not if you're not in the Walt Disney World in it every single day, you're not going to know what these mean. They're just going to be, it's like a foreign language, right?
Right, right.
And if you have a travel planner like us, like travel planner Erica, who use abbreviations for everything, some of them I have to look up.
Yeah, yeah.
That, so this is to try to help you kind of navigate and better understand what we talk about when we say IP or AP or lightning lane or whatever. There's a lot of terms out there that we're going to kind of go over and help explain to you.
Yeah, and not just for when we're talking about it, but like if you're taking a trip as you're planning, knowing what they mean, or while you're there when you're, you know, in line and people are talking about things, that way you understand what's going on.
Yeah, so Brittany, start us off.
Yes, so some of the abbreviations you might hear, and when you think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But you might hear MK. That's short for Magic Kingdom. You may hear AK. That's Animal Kingdom. HS is Hollywood Studios. And I've even seen where, short for Epcot, some people say EP.
Okay, but I'm going to get to that in just a second.
Okay.
Epcot. I've also seen Animal Kingdom be DAK.
Okay.
Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
Epcot is a word in itself, an abbreviation.
But most people aren't going to know that.
Nope, no. So Epcot stands for Experimental Prototype Community or City. Walt said both. Project of Tomorrow. So Epcot, right. E-P-C-O-T. Yes. So that in itself are abbreviations, correct. But it kind of become its thing.
Yeah.
So Epcot would, I guess, kind of go into that. But yeah, mm-hmm. So that's what those mean. So rope drop. Mm-hmm. Hear us say it all the time. It's actually used as a verb now. We're going rope dropping, right?
Right.
That is when they open the parks, there is literally a rope across the land, before you get into the landing entrance, that a cast member will drop. They literally drop it.
Yeah.
That's literally what rope drop is. Mm-hmm. Literally them dropping a rope.
Right. But you get to get in there a little earlier, which we'll cover that too. But for example, like Magic Kingdom, we rope drop Tomorrowland. So you're standing behind this rope until they drop it, take it down, and then they still continue to guide you further into the land before you're like, okay, you're free. Go do Space Mountain or whatever.
Yes, don't trample the cast members.
No, do not. Which leads to our cast next member. Cast member is?
An employee of the Walt Disney Company.
Yes.
They call them cast members because, well, we'll get into that in a minute. What's the next one?
Well, but cast members, these are also going to be people that are working in the stores, in the restaurants, like all the workers.
Anybody you see mm-hmm. in the parks
that work there.
Or even in corporate, they're all considered right. cast members. They're right. not called
the
employees.
The resorts, the hotels, everything.
Everybody yes. are cast members.
Yes.
And the next one is backstage. Mm-hmm. So Walt said, and this refers to the Walt Disney World parks as well, but Walt Disney said, Disneyland is a show. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing when you're in the parks is an actual show.
Yes.
So when you're in the park, you are on stage. The cast members are on stage when they're in the parks with the people. When they are not on stage, they are backstage where normal guests can't go. That is considered backstage. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear us talk about that quite a bit too.
Yes, for sure.
All right, so what's the next one?
The next one is ADR, which stands for Advanced Dining Reservation.
Yeah, when Erica first said, we need to get your ADRs, I'm like, we need to get what now?
Yeah, I know.
I completely, she's like, your reservation, your dining reservation. I'm like, oh, why didn't you just say that?
Right, right.
Yeah, so ADR. Yes. That you will, if you have a travel planner, you will hear that term a lot. Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of that, we got to get on that with Erica for our trip.
Yes. So in advanced dining reservations, if you're staying on property, you can do them as early as 60 days.
Yes.
Yes. So you will hear that from time to time. Even when you're there, you know, you may hear conversations. Well, did you make your ADR? And that's what that's for.
Yes.
So another one you're going to hear a lot is Genie Plus.
You want me to explain Genie Plus? Please. Okay. So there are. Okay. So we're going to get into this. There are three different tiers to your My Disney Experience app, right?
Yes.
So there's Genie, which is like the AI planner on your My Disney Experience app. But you click on things that you are interested in, and it will kind of plan your day out. Now, that's free, mm-hmm. right?
Just Genie.
Mm-hmm. Now, they have, on top of that, they have Genie Plus. Now, Genie Plus is a paid, you pay for Genie Plus, and it is what the old FastPass system used to be. So you're paying to skip the line. We're not going to get into the details about how to go about that, but that's what the people say Genie Plus, you are paying to skip the lines. Mm-hmm. Now, the lines you get in are called the Lightning Lane lines.
Correct.
So you have the standby line, which is for people that are not paying to skip the line. Mm-hmm. Then they have the Lightning Lane, which is for people paying to skip the line.
Yes.
And this is where it gets confusing. Mm-hmm. Then you have the individual paid Lightning Lane. These are for your, if you watch a certain YouTuber, quote unquote, fancy rides mm-hmm. or your top tier rides. So, for example, Flight of Passage is an individual paid Lightning Lane. It is not a part of the Genie Plus system. You have to pay separately to ride Flight of Passage. Same thing goes for Tron. If you want to skip the virtual queue for Tron, which I do suggest because that virtual queue, even though you're in a virtual queue, can get really long, which we need to add that virtual queue to the list because it's not on there.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll talk about that next, I guess. You have to pay extra and you skip the virtual queue line. Mine Train, also a fancy ride, individual paid Lightning Lane, Rise of Resistance. And when Tiana's comes back, I'm sure that will be part of it. Mm-hmm. And Rise, not Rise, at Guardians of the Galaxy, is also a fancy individual paid Lightning Link, Cosmic Rewind. Mm-hmm. So they are separate from Genie Plus. Even if you buy Genie Plus, this is a separate cost for those attractions.
Right.
So Virtual Queue, let's go ahead and talk about it right now. Mm-hmm. Virtual Queue is, there's only one Virtual Queue now. It's for Tron, right?
I believe
Oh, and Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah, it still has one. That's
for Guardians of the Galaxy, you have to select a time, a comeback time to get in the virtual queue. You just can't go walk up and say, hey, I want to wait in line for this. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. You either need a virtual queue, which you're waiting in a virtual queue for your, your My Disney Experience app will send you a callback time to come back. You have between this time to ride this ride.
Yes.
So that's what a virtual queue is.
Mm-hmm. All right. But once you're there, you still may be waiting a little
You still may have to wait. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So next is AP.
That's me.
Yes. So Zach is an annual pass holder, and there's some benefits and perks to that if you want to talk about it.
Yeah. So an annual pass, I have the highest tier annual pass because I'm not a Florida resident. That's the only one that I can get. And I have no blackout days. If I want to go, we are possibly going for Christmas this year, mm-hmm. and we're not planning on going to any parks, but that may change. I don't know. I can go.
Right.
The lower tier annual passes have blackout dates. Most of them would be like the week of Christmas and all that. So that's that. I get discounts on merchandise, food discounts. And we recently had resort discounts for annual pass holders this summer. That was 15% off, which made a significant price difference. Now, not always. And annual pass holders don't always get great things. I get a magnet every now and then. I have to wait an hour in line for, and I get hit in the back by a stroller every time. Mm-hmm. But still little stuff like that. And the reason I got one was because I'm writing a book, mm-hmm. and I go down there not every month, because I found out going every month I can't keep up with the writing and the research. So maybe every other month, every 2 months. And financially, it made sense for me to go ahead and get one.
Right. Now, he's the only one of the family that has one, but that is why. So if you hear AP or you see it, you know, on different things while you're vacationing, that is what that stands for.
Yep.
Next is Magic Band, and you also have Magic Band Plus now. So Magic Bands are, you know, basically like a bracelet that you're wearing, and that's how you can get into the parks. That can be used for your room key and many more things. Now, if you have the Magic Band Plus, there's certain things throughout the parks, like statues and stuff. If you wave your wrist in front of it, it'll vibrate or on your wrist, and it could make some of the statues talk or sing a song, different things like that.
I'm a little sad that Magic Bands are not a thing that as they used to be, mm-hmm. because they don't give them away free anymore to resort guests.
Right.
And I think that was... So when you get behind people that don't have Magic Bands and they're using Genie Plus, mm-hmm. they're always fumbling with their phones or their cards to find the tickets to scan everything. And it's so much easier if everybody has their own Magic Band. And they're still there. The Magic Band Pluses can get expensive, but the regular mm-hmm. Magic Bands are cheap.
Yeah, especially if you don't get a design on it or anything.
They're like, what, $10?
Some can be.
And it's just so much easier to have it on your wrist.
It is.
It's your, you can unlock your resort room. You can pay everything on it if you have a credit card linked to it, which I don't recommend unless you just don't care.
Right.
But that can get dangerous if mm-hmm. you know. use it for all your Genie Pluses and your individual paid Lightning Lanes. You just tap the thing. When you go into the park, you tap it at the turnstile. And mm-hmm. it's just something
it's just
about
more
tapping
convenient.
It. It is.
It is. And it gives this magical sound every time you do, whether it's getting into the park or when you're doing the paid Lightning Lanes and they're having you tap in. You know, it's just kind of like a yay.
So we all have Magic Band Pluses for one reason and one reason only. Mm-hmm. Disneyland.
Yes.
Disneyland does not use regular Magic Bands, but they use the regular or the Magic Band Pluses. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's just easier for me, Brittany, and the boys to have their own band and just tap in instead of us fumbling with, you know, our tickets or the tickets on the phone trying to go through. It's just easier to have it on your wrist. Boom.
Yeah.
You know, for us, that's just easier.
It is. It is. And I mean, we're used to it now too. I don't know what we do if it went to something else.
I don't know. And the Magic Band Plus, yes, it has some cool features. It vibrates. It lights up. I don't really care about that. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have it charged, it still works as a regular magic band. Right. I just like the convenience of it being on my wrist.
Yeah. No, for sure. Same. And,
yeah. So.
So I recommend it having at least the regular magic band.
Yes.
But like Zach had mentioned briefly, you know, in the past, they used to come with your vacation. You would get a package a couple of weeks out that would have one for everyone in your trip.
And that kind of made it more magical too. You're like, ooh, like it's like a week and a half out and you get your magic band. You're like, oh, this is like.
Yeah. It's around the corner.
It's happening, you know?
Yeah. So, but they have all sorts of colors. And yes, they're going to get more pricey if you get designs on it and everything, but that's up to you.
Like for Father's Day last year, they got me an annual pass holder one specifically for event. Like you can get really detailed into it, but just get a basic one. I think it's worth the price of just the convenience.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I agree.
Even if it's $10, what is it, 10, 15 bucks?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Moving on, Park Hopper.
You literally hop parks.
Yes. So, you know, you can say start your day in Magic Kingdom and then you're feeling maybe going to Hollywood Studios. You can hop on over to Hollywood Studios. That's, like Zach said, you're just park hopping.
Now, this is an extra charge for your normal ticket.
Yes.
Now, as an annual pass holder, I can do that. I can go to whatever park I want to. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But if you're doing 3 or 4 day tickets like we're doing for the summertime, it is an add-on and it may not be worth it or it may be worth it. This is the first time as a family we are going to go park hopping and we are going to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. The main hesitancy we've had in the past, especially with the kids being smaller, is I feel like we wouldn't be in that moment at that park because we were worried about what we could go do next.
Right.
Right. Now the boys are getting older and they want to go do more stuff. Mm-hmm. So it makes more sense for us to park hop now.
Right.
A couple parks, not all. They still want to spend full days in Animal Kingdom and Epcot. Mm-hmm. But us only having 3 days, we're going to park hop Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. So it just makes sense. We're going to hammer out the attractions we want to do and then move on.
Yeah. Now, something to keep in mind is, you know, guests with a ticket with park hopper benefits, you still, you know, you enter your first park.
Yes.
You know,
well, it's always been like that.
Yes, but they might not know. So you know, if you've planned to start your day in Magic Kingdom, you go to Magic Kingdom first.
Well, that's if you have a park reservation now.
Yeah.
If you don't have a park reservation, speaking to Brittany and the boys, they don't need park reservations.
Right.
Me as an annual pass holder, for some reason, mm-hmm. has to have reservations still. Why not have good to go days? But
yeah,
you know.
So it depends on the scenario. But if you have to have reservations for a theme park, then you do enter your first park first before hopping over to another one.
And moving on to one of my favorite things, the Skyliner. Mm-hmm. I love the Skyliner. Now, they are essentially, if you've ever been to a big mountain, the big gondolas where they carry people around, not the ski lifts, but the gondolas, mm-hmm. this is what they are.
Right. Yes. And yeah, it's a whole new way to get transported from different areas if you are on this Skyliner route, such as, you know, Caribbean Beach Resort, Pop Century, and there's a few other resorts on it as well.
Caribbean Beach, Riviera,
yeah.
Beach Club, kind of much the boardwalk resorts, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just a way to get to Hollywood Studios and Epcot, you know, it's a game changer.
It's fast, mm-hmm. quick. The only problem I have is, if it's a busy time, they're going to put you in there with other families, and that can get a little awkward.
A little bit.
A lot of it.
Yeah. But if it's not too crazy of a time, then it's just your family.
Yeah, but it's just, and it's an attraction within itself.
It is.
It's just it's fun to do.
Well, you see different sides of the two parks while you're on it. And I like seeing, you know, like Remy's from up.
I was amazed at how big Caribbean Beach is. Mm-hmm. It is massive. Yeah, and you don't get an idea of how large it is until you're like going above
it. Up above, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is massive.
All right. Brittany, this is our favorite thing.
The Disney bubble. So something about once you see that Welcome to Disney sign, you know, you are in the bubble. And if you're relying only on Disney transportation, then that adds to it, you know. I think we feel like we're as much in the bubble when we've had our own car, even though we're still inside it. I feel like when you're using everything Disney, that's when you truly feel like you're in the Disney bubble. You know, like, yes, you know, the real world is out there, but you're truly just in that Disney environment.
Yeah, don't watch the news.
Right. Yeah.
Don't do that. No, and I agree. With the we have driven down there a couple of times, and it just feels like it's nice to have your own car and be like, hey, I can go to Kroger, or well, they don't have Kroger's down there, but Publix or whatever, and get food. But when you don't have a car and you're relying on other stuff, you really do truly feel like you're in that bubble. And when we stayed at the Dolphin back in February, yes, we were literally right next to Epcot, but it didn't have that same feeling.
Right, because it's not
a Disney resort.
Yeah, it's not a regular Disney resort.
I felt like I was at a convention in Vegas and then went to Epcot.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's right there, but something about staying at an actual Disney resort with the Disney theming, whether it be over the top like All-Stars to something like Polynesian, just something about that Disney bubble, you know, like, I think that's part of what causes my Disney blues when we leave, because we get out of that bubble and it's like, oh, back to the real world.
And the bubble used to start when you got to the airport.
Yes.
When it used to.
Yes. When they used to have the Magical Express.
Oh, I miss that so much.
That's when it would start, because you were immediately on Disney.
And they were talking about Disney. You'd hear the Disney music. You'd hear the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you were there. When you get on that bus, it was a game. Even when you... Because they tap your magic bands to get in the line for the resort to wait for the bus at the airport, remember?
Yeah.
Like, that was, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
We're here.
But now you got to wait until you're in the actual bubble. Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about the Skyliner real quick. I was talking and conversing with people on Twitter, and someone mentioned they should put a Skyliner route to Animal Kingdom because it's so far away. And I said, no. Mm-hmm. I love the secludedness of it. You feel like you're miles away from everything else. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love so much about that resort.
Yeah.
Just my opinion, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't think they need to do anything like that either. You know, I know it is a little further out there and not as much transportation options, but...
I love that. That's part of the reason I love that so much.
Right. You're going on an adventure.
Yep. All right. What's next?
All right. Next is DVC.
Which we hope to own one time.
Disney Vacation Club. So it's kind of like a timeshare.
It's a timeshare.
Is the easiest way to describe it. But it's through Disney. You know, you get a lot of perks. Certain types of rooms can be available to you. You've had more in-depth conversations with them, if you want to share a little more.
Yeah, so it's, I don't want to go into detail about it, but you kind of get the same perks as an annual pass. You get 10% off, and you get like a special lounge, which I think there's a special lounge for annual pass holders now at Epcot. So you have like a special little lounge area, and you get whatever your home resort is. I'm not going to get into the details of that, but you can book that like 18 months out or whatever. Right. So you get like first pick of those. And it's essentially, if you're planning on going to Walt Disney World every year and spending X amount of money, this actually is cheaper to do this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anyway.
But it costs money.
It does. It costs a lot of money. And it's, if you're going to go for a long time every year, it may make sense to look into it.
Right. Or if, you know, say you have a bigger family or something and you need more space, and you're staying a decent amount of time every year, that's where I really see benefits of it because of the types of rooms you can get.
Yes. We need to sit down with our financial advisor and go through the numbers and be like, does this make sense for us to do? That's something we do need to do, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right, next is, you might hear the terms value, moderate, and deluxe when people are talking about resorts. So value resorts are going to be on the, you know, they're still pricey.
They're still expensive.
They're still expensive, but they're going to be on the lower end of what you're going to pay to stay on Disney property.
I would say on the low side, I think I've seen All-Stars for like $175. Mm-hmm. And on the high side, if you're staying in a family suite at Art of Animation, you're going to be paying $400 to $500 a night.
Right. So, and then also Pop Century is one of these as well.
Yes.
Yes.
So it depends on the room you get, the time of year you're going, because that can vary very much.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yes.
And I mean, and that's with any of them, honestly. You're moderate. You're going to have, you know, a little bit bigger rooms, maybe a little less theming in your face.
The pools at value resorts do not have water slides.
Right.
And they're not going to have sit-down restaurants. So it's going to be just kind of like the quick service stuff.
Yeah, so kind of, you know, go place your order and then immediately pick up the tray of food and go sit down.
And they're going to have the most amount of resort guests staying there.
Yes. Yes. Now, moderate resorts will be like your Disney Caribbean Beach Resort, Port Orleans Riverside, which, by the way, that one was really great to stay at.
That was great.
It's quiet. It's relaxing. You know, it's more in the Disney Springs Resort area. You can take a boat over to Disney Springs.
Loved it.
So, you know, there are some nice options for moderate. Is Coronado moderate?
Coronado's a moderate.
Yes.
The cabins at Fortress are considered moderate. Mm-hmm. So there's some good resorts here. The only criticism of Port Orleans Riverside, not from us, but from other people, it's a very large resort. Not as large as Caribbean Beach.
Right.
But it is still a very large resort. Mm-hmm. But most moderates will have a sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
And they will have water slides in the pool.
Yes.
And they have just a few more amenities. And the room's a little bit bigger than you're going to get at the value resorts, mm-hmm. which we can attest to that.
Yes, for sure. Now, the deluxe, you know, a lot of people immediately think of the ones closer to Magic Kingdom on the
Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake.
On that monorail loop. So, you know, Grand Floridian, Polynesian, and Contemporary.
Yes, but and then, Wilderness Lodge.
And I'm getting there. So that initial loop, then you have the Wilderness Lodge, which is still in that area. You just can't get to it via monorail. And then you also have Riviera.
Yep.
And
Boardwalk
Beach Yacht Club. Yacht Club. Club. And
Saratoga Springs.
Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom Lodge. And then Old Key West.
Yes.
Now, most of the deluxe resorts are going to have more transportation options. Yes. Most. Not all.
Right.
The Disney's Animal Kingdom is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Saratoga Springs and Old Key West do not have more than bus options. Well, if you want to go to Disney Springs, that's different. But you got the Boardwalk, Beach Club, and Yacht Club all around the Skyliner route, and you can take a boat to Hollywood Studios. Wilderness Lodge, you can take a boat to Magic Kingdom, which I love that. I love that. Like, that was probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it was really nice taking the boat into Magic
Kingdom. The monorail is great, but there's people that just ride the monorail, which I want people to do. But when you're trying to get from your resort to the park, it could be crowded.
Yeah.
But I think as far as the room size go, I noticed this the most with Polynesian. The rooms were very large.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Polynesian rooms were large. You know, and so are the other deluxe, but certain resorts you're going to see a major difference.
Yeah.
And the pools are amazing. they have a lot more restaurant options. So not just one sit-down.
You will have fine dining options as well.
Yes, you will have fine dining, a variety of sit-down restaurants, and quick service.
Yes.
And just, you know, a few more amenities.
You're going to pay for it. You're probably going to start at $450 to $500 a night, staying at these resorts and going well into the thousands, depending on the time of the year and size room you get.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but definitely time of year plays into it big time.
We know about that.
Yes.
All right. What's next on the list?
POG juice, POG juice.
So good.
Yeah. So you're going to hear the term POG juice at quite a few restaurants, and it is pomegranate.
Passion fruit.
No, passion fruit. That's right. I don't know why. Sorry. Passion fruit, orange juice, and guava.
Yes.
Yes.
So good.
It is really
good. Not at every resort. It's at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. They have it at the Polynesian and a few other places. It's big for breakfast.
Yes.
At your breakfast buffets, most places may have it for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I don't know if you're going to find it much. But
yeah. So if you hear POG juice, again, that's what it is.
It's delicious.
It is. It really, really is. That whole blend just goes really well together. It's not overly sweet or sour. It's really good. Okay, so next, Photo Pass and Memory Maker.
They take pictures. I'm not big on this.
Oh, we're not either, but, you know, some of those nicer castle pictures, you know, different areas throughout the parks where you do special poses.
They do the magic shots and stuff.
The magic shots where they maybe insert a character or special effects in them.
They can do some really cool stuff. Now, this is a separate
price
from your ticket. it may be worth it to you. It's worth it to us to get the pictures from the rides.
Yes.
Especially when Brittany does Tower of Terror. And it's worth it to us because we get the pictures in front of the castle. So I add this on to my annual pass. And this is an extra charge mm-hmm. on the annual pass, but it's worth it to us because we like the castle pictures. We like the ride attraction pictures. Mm-hmm. That's mainly what we use it for.
Yeah.
Now, if you just want to get your picture in front of the castle, the cast member will take it for you from your phone.
Right.
You don't have to use PhotoPass.
Right.
It used to not be the case, but they will do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, the main reason now, because we have gone so many times, is more for just the expressions on the rides.
Yes.
Yes.
And now I don't pay as much being an AP holder that you would for a regular trip, but.
Mm-hmm. So that's why he adds it to his.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about this earlier, or Zach did. You might see an abbreviation MDE, and that is for My Disney Experience app, which is where you go for like Genie and Genie Plus. And
you cannot go to Walt Disney World and not have this app.
Right, because this is where you're going to do everything.
Everything.
Mobile now, ordering. Yes.
Everything. When we first went with, mm-hmm. you know, we were going with my brother and sister-in-law, and they were like, just show up. We'll take care of the rest. I'm like, great. They can just show up and not do anything. about a month and a half, 2 months out, she called me and she was like, hey, you need to make profiles on the Disney account. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. You said just show up. I didn't want to do this.
This is also when he thought we were a one and done family.
Yes. And so it took me six hours, but it took me a few hours to make our profiles on the Disney thing. So she could link the tickets to us and the resort to us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's worth it, though. And I think it's a little bit faster now.
Yes, now it is. But it became like, I was like, man, this like, quote unquote, free Disney trip starting to become a problem. Like, I've got to, like, it was.
Some work to do.
I got to work on this. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but this is before even Genie and all that. Mm-hmm. So you could still get away with not having the Miser's Experience app and still going to Walt Disney World.
Right, but it just makes everything so much easier. And you can see the wait times, you know.
Show times, yes. Parade times, mm-hmm. hours, everything. This is a must. You need to have it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland now mm-hmm. and not use the app.
Right.
There's just no way.
Yeah, it just makes everything so much easier. You know, now don't, you know.
I wish it wasn't
they
that
do
way.
Have the paper maps and everything. So those of you that are like, oh, I don't really like getting on my phone, like you can still get those when you get into the park. But this just gives you so much more information.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Also, you are going to probably hear and see this on different things. DDP.
Diamond Dallas Page. Not the wrestler?
Nope. Disney Dining Plan.
Yeah, I was way off.
way off. So Disney Dining Plan, and there's different plans, and they've changed, and we about what, 2 months ago we did an episode on this.
Yes.
And so there's different plans out there depending on what you are wanting to do, what works best for your family, whether you're more quick service or sit down.
Yes. Travel planner Erica, her husband Darth Mouse, went way in depth. Mm-hmm. Go check that episode out. It is our most popular episode ever.
Right. And I think it's
they
because
do such a great job.
They did such a great job breaking everything down and explaining it and how you can get your value out of it. But also, you know, it just came back this year. It had been gone since COVID.
Yeah, so, we don't want to talk about that.
I know, but yeah, I'm just saying. It's a big, big, you know, thing that it came back this year.
Yes. Yeah, so if you would like help booking the Disney Dining Plan or any of these terms we're talking about, you know how to reach out to.
Who is that?
The professionals at Main Street Travel Company. They are the official sponsor of this podcast, and we use them for all of our Disney and non-Disney vacation needs. They can plan your Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, Alani, Disneyland Paris, and did you know they have resorts in Hilton Head and Vero Beach?
I knew about Vero Beach.
We're going to Vero Beach.
Yes.
They can plan those for you as well. So exclusively for Circle of Parks listeners, if you book your next Disney cruise line with them and tell them we sent you, you'll get up to $1,000 onboard credit. If you book your next Adventures by Disney trip, you'll get up to $1,000 cash back. And for booking your next Walt Disney World vacation, they'll get you a gift card based on the value of your vacation. Also, if you book with our travel planner Erica, she's going to throw an additional $25 on top of that Walt Disney World gift card. And Erica is so passionate about her home park, Disneyland. If you book Disneyland with Erica, Travel Planner Erica, she's going to throw a $100 gift card for Disneyland.
Yes, that is pretty amazing.
So not only are they going to plan your vacation for free, take all the stress, all the worry, all of that, and help guide you through, because you may not know what you want to stay at, you may not know what you want to eat. They're going to help you with that. They're going to save you money.
Yes.
They're going to save you so much time, effort, and money. So if you want to reach out to them, you can go to the website, www.mainstreettravelco.com. They're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And you can call them. My favorite thing, these are full-time agents. These are not part-time agents that will get back to you after their day job. Because that can be annoying.
It can be, yes.
They are full-time agents. Call them, 1-800-593-1262, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., 5 p.m. Central Time. And again, tell them we sent you. Take advantage of the special offers. And it's just so great working with them.
It really is.
It's so easy.
It's so easy. The stress, we don't stress about making those dining reservations at all. Sometimes we even forget that it's coming up and it's, hey, are you still wanting to go eat here at this time of day? Oh, yeah, for sure. It's that time already. So,
all right, let's keep rolling. I got grill time here in the next little bit. Grilling time.
Speed it up.
So, all right, keeping with food.
Yes, with food, you're going to hear the term quick service. So quick service, think great food, fast service. You can get like cafeteria style or counter service with this and take advantage of mobile ordering. That will help you with your wait times
as
well.
Yes, I just put a reel up last week talking about mobile order, and I had a video of people at Columbia Harbor House that did not mobile order. It was like 30 people deep, and most of them were on their phones. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you not ordering right now?
Right.
When the mobile order line had one person at the counter.
Yeah. And,
it's so easy.
It gives you that window of when to come, like a 30-minute window.
You can plan it whenever you want. Yeah.
And so
great.
Yeah, you order ahead of time. and then you take the food items that you want, sit down, enjoy your meal. There's no servers or anything like that. So that's your quick service. And there's a variety of those restaurants everywhere.
And some of them are better than the table service restaurants.
I would agree. Some are. So they're in the parks. They're in the resorts. And so that is what quick service restaurants are. So again, if you hear the term quick service, that's what that means. Now, on the other side of that, you have table service. That's going to be more your sit down, having servers. It could be buffets. It could be a steakhouse, other specialty restaurants where you had to have a reservation, most likely.
Will need a reservation for table service. Now, you can walk up and get on the walk-up list for some of them, but table service requires more than likely a reservation. An advanced dining reservation is going to be for a table service restaurant.
Yes. But again, like Zach said, some of them you could walk up possibly. But so you're going to have most likely a reservation. You're going to have a server bringing you food, all of that stuff.
And plan for about an hour to an hour and a half to two hours. Yeah. Out of your park day or for dinner for this restaurant.
Especially if it's a nicer sit down or it's a character dining and you're wanting to see all the characters, especially say like Akershus in Epcot, there's a lot of princesses. And if you're wanting to see all of them, I would definitely plan for an hour and a half.
And some of these table service restaurants have a dress code.
Yes, some do.
Some, not all, but some do. So make sure you check that. And if you're using a travel planner, which we highly recommend, they will tell you of that.
Yes. And our next one on the list, we've already covered mobile ordering, but it makes a difference.
Use it.
Yes. Use it when you can. Next on the list is early entry.
This is where you get in early.
Explain a little more.
This is for resort guests.
Disney resort guests
and people staying at like the Swan and Dolphin and Shade the Green and some of the Good Neighbor hotels. You can get in 30 minutes prior to park opening than you can non-resort guests. So when I go to do book research, I cannot get in early entry because I'm not a resort guest.
Right. But when we go as a family and stay,
We use it. Well, sometimes.
Most of the time. And that 30 minutes makes a difference.
You can get a lot done.
You can get quite a few things done and then kind of slow down a little bit after if you want to.
Yeah.
But that first 30 minutes, we've been able to do like three rides sometimes.
Yeah.
So definitely, if you stay on property or one of the Good Neighbor hotels that it's offered to, take advantage of that. There's also after hours.
Which we're going to be partaking in this summer. After hours. So there's two different types of after hours.
Yes.
There are after hours for deluxe resort guests only. And they're on select nights. You can go to Magic Kingdom on one night and Epcot on the other night. And it's from usually from like 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yes.
It's usually 2 to 3 hours. And when the hours are not out for when we're going in July, but up until the farthest out there, the furthest out they are, the Magic Kingdom has been Monday night and Epcot's been Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. So I think me and Ryan will at least take advantage of the after hours. Now, there are after hours events, yes, which are separately ticketed events. Mm-hmm. And they can cost anywhere from $125 to $195, $195 a night and per person. And this is where you get most of the attractions are open. You get free snacks. You'll get Mickey bars, popcorn, soda drinks, water, all that stuff will be included in that. And this is a great way to ride attractions with little to no wait times.
Yes.
And if I think the older the boys get, I think that's something we may, instead of buying an individual park ticket for that day,
Do it later at night.
Do it later at night and not have, especially if it's hot outside during the day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can see that as they get older.
And there are usually special characters like villains and stuff out during those that they're not normally out during the day.
Right.
And the parks are next to near empty.
That is true. We've seen several videos and it's like, wow.
But for the deluxe resort guests, that's included in what you're that's not extra.
Mm-hmm. So just a lot to keep in mind.
Yes.
Now, another thing you might hear is IP in the parks.
IP in the parks, IP outside the parks. And no, that does not stand for what you think it stands for. It stands for intellectual property. So any of the movies that they use in the parks, it is called intellectual property. So when we say, like, I am not opposed to IP being in Animal Kingdom, I'm talking about intellectual property, which is like Encanto or Coco or Indiana Jones. That's what we considered. That's called IP, intellectual property.
Yes. So, and you're probably going to hear that a lot going forward.
Coming up, because it's a lot of moving parts to the Walt Disney World resorts or parks right now.
Yes. All right. E-ticket attraction.
So if you listened to last week's episode, I brought up the e-ticket attraction because they were talking about a C-ticket attraction going into where Dinorama is now in Animal Kingdom. So way back when Disneyland first opened, they had your park entry did not include the attractions. It was just a park entry. Mm-hmm. And then you'd go to a ticket booth and buy certain different ticket booklets depending on how much you wanted to spend, and they would have A ticket attractions, B ticket, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, and E, and E being the best attraction. So back then it would have been Pirates of the Caribbean or Matterhorn or
Space Mountain.
They didn't have Space Mountain. Oh. Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. Space Mountain came to Walt Disney World before Disneyland.
That's right, I forgot.
So When you hear E ticket attraction, think Flight of Passage, Rise of the Resistance, Tower of Terror. Those are your
nowadays.
Yeah. So you don't really hear A, B, or C ticket attraction. You mainly hear just the E ticket attractions. People will use that for like the best rides.
Right.
So that's, if you hear us refer to an E ticket attraction, it's going to be the best ride, one of, you know, top ride there.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Okay.
All right. Next is Hidden Mickey. You're going to hear this a lot. And once you're familiar with what Hidden Mickeys are, you're going to start looking for them.
You see them everywhere.
You do. So it's where, you know, sometimes they're real subtle. Other times they're more in your face than you realize. But, you know, while you're waiting in line at different attractions, look around. You're probably going to see a hidden Mickey somewhere in the walls, on the floor, you know, in some kind of detail in the queue. And sometimes when, you know, on the walking pass, like through the actual park, not even in an attraction, you may see them. So,
do you know how they got started?
I do not.
I'm going to butcher this story, I'm sure. But a story, I can't remember if I heard it from an Imagineer or like an interview on YouTube or Reddit somewhere. But they don't know who, but an Imagineer started putting them into attraction queues just because he thought it would be cool.
Yeah.
And then no one knew they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They just started doing it like they did it on their own, and then it became a thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I'm butchering that story, but that's I remember hearing that story somewhere or reading it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, an Imagineer was bored and thought it would be cool to do that and didn't ask anybody, just did it.
And then it became a thing.
Then it became a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you see them more often than you think, you know, and it almost becomes like you're not even looking for it, and then it's like, oh, hey, there's a hidden Mickey.
Well, there's books written about it, games, everything. Yep.
Yeah. All right, next is TTC. So this is the Ticket Transportation Center.
Transportation and Ticket Center.
Oh, sorry. Transportation and Ticket Center.
Yes, this is the, if you're driving to the Magic Kingdom, this is where you will come to first.
Yes.
Now, the Transportation Ticket Center is there because Walt did not want a bunch of stuff around the Magic Kingdom like there is in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. So you have that buffer.
Right.
Between, and it also kind of tricks your mind into going into fantasy, into like a different world, right? So you're leaving the parking lot, you're getting on either the ferry boat, the monorail, well, that's it. Mm-hmm. Or you can take a bus. Sometimes you can take a bus. Mm-hmm. But you go across Seven Seas Lagoon, and you can also get tickets there. Mm-hmm. You can get, if you don't have a ticket, or you can go in and purchase your day ticket there. Or when I went last few weeks ago, I renewed my annual pass there.
Okay.
And you can also walk to the Polynesian. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it is. It's really close to Poly.
So that's where the main hub, if you're going from Magic, if you're park hopping from the Magic Kingdom to Epcot, you will first take a monorail to the Transportation Ticket Center and transfer to another monorail to go to Epcot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So TTC. So you most likely will hear that at some point during your trip.
You would think ticket and transportation, but it's transportation and ticket.
Which I know that, but it just came out that way.
But yeah. it sounds better, ticket and transportation, right?
Yes.
It rolls off the tongue better.
Right.
But it's transportation and ticket.
Okay. All right. So next, Dole Whip. You are bound to hear about Dole Whips. See them while you are there. And, you know, they are so good. It's soft serve. It's a frozen treat. It's pineapple, but it can be blended with some swirled flavors, such as pineapple and vanilla, or I like the swirl pineapple and coconut. And they have some other...
I remember that this time.
Yes. And they have some other flavors that come off and on throughout the year as well. You can even get frosty floats that are available with it. And they are just so good, especially on one of those hot days.
If you want to know the history of the Dole Whip, buy my book.
All right.
Hopefully next year.
Hopefully. Now, while we're talking about Dole Whips, you like Orange Bird and the citrusy swirls.
The citrus swirl, yes. If you want to know more about the Orange Bird, buy my book. No, the Orange Bird was a mascot back in the 70s that was a sponsor of, they sponsored... I have so much stuff in here for the book, you know. Yeah. Like, I feel bad when I was asking Aaron Goldberg stuff about his book, mm-hmm. and he didn't know it. I felt bad. Now I know why, because you just have so much in there.
Yeah,
you can't memorize it all. But the Orange Bird used to be a sponsor in the Magic Kingdom, and it went away for a while in the 70s, and it came back recently. And what's the?
Because it was like for the Florida Citrus Commission.
The Florida Citrus Commission. Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Because Florida's so known for oranges. Yes.
So they sponsored, oranges were a sponsor in Disneyland and Walt Disney World early on. And it's now come back as the mascot for Flower and Garden Festival, the Orange Bird.
Yes.
But there used to be a huge Orange Bird walking around.
Okay.
That would be scary.
Yeah.
And it's like the Big Figment. That thing scares me.
And then at Sunshine Tree Terrace.
Tree Terrace, that's the name of it. Yes.
Yes. And that's where you like to go. You don't get the Dole Whip. You like to go and get the orange.
The orange and cream swirl. Now, mm-hmm. that's the original. Mm-hmm. That was there before Dole Whip.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, going back to Dole Whip, you used to only be able to get them in Walt Disney World mm-hmm. and on the ranch in Hawaii.
Oh.
But now, I think it was like in 2021, you can buy them in stores now.
Yeah. I don't think they'd be the same.
Yeah.
No. I think I've seen them a time or two in the stores, and I've stared... Don't do it.
It's like the Mickey bars in the store. Don't do it.
It's not going to be the same.
It's not the same.
All right. So next is World Showcase. This is in Epcot. World Showcase is where you have the different country pavilions. I forgot how many countries there are.
I don't know. A lot. Yeah.
So this is where, you know, they're themed to look like buildings in the different countries. There's restaurants. There's great food themed to what they serve in these countries. Some of the pavilions have shows and rides within them, you know, and not just restaurants. Sometimes there's just bakeries or places to get certain types of beverages. And I love it. I love it. It can get a little crazy there different times of the day. But something about the World Showcase, you know, it does kind of take you somewhere else. When you're thoroughly inside the middle of one of those pavilions, you do feel like you're somewhere else.
And so here's a reason why for that. Mm-hmm. The World Showcase was originally meant to be a permanent World's Fair.
Ah.
And the countries that are represented, mm-hmm. the people that work there are from those countries.
Right.
And the governments of those countries worked very hard and had a large hand in developing the countries. Mm-hmm. So they're as authentic as you can get.
Right. Yeah. And now, and, you know, with Zach going into these details, it is true. When you're going to the different places within the pavilions, you know, they definitely are from those countries.
Yes.
Yes. I thought you were going to keep going.
Yeah.
I was trying to look at how many countries there are and hadn't found the answer yet. So you
keep going.
You keep going.
Well, you talk about more about Fab Five than me.
All right. Well, I was trying to find the amount of countries. But some of the countries, instead of finding them, let me just name some of them. You've got Mexico, Norway, China, Germany, Italy, United States, Japan, France, Morocco, Canada, and UK.
There's 11.
Yeah. So, and again, theming everything is just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So next on the list, if you hear the term Fab Five, like if you're going to a character dining possibly, and they're like, oh, the Fab Five are the characters you're going to meet. That is the original Disney characters such as Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, and Pluto. So when you hear Fab Five, those are them. Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, and Pluto.
Yep.
All right. Imagineers.
Imagineers are Disney engineers, architects, artists, and many more. You will not see them often in the parks, but you'll hear the cast members refer to the creative Imagineers who developed everything you see in the parks. Walt Disney called them Imagineers. He's the one that came up with the term Imagineers. And they are just so talented.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, and they truly do use their imagination to do all of these things, you know, just to be able to create what we see in the movies and in the parks and on these rides, you know, it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, everything you see in the parks have been done by Imagineers. Yes. It's truly amazing. From the set work to the actual engineering, a lot of the engineering on the attractions, mm-hmm. Disney came up with themselves.
Yeah.
Like the elevator design for the Tower of Terror, mm-hmm. they came up with that themselves.
Ugh. Sorry, I don't like it.
A lot of the technology used on Cosmic Rewind, like mm-hmm. how the roller coaster, like the car itself spins around,
right.
they came up with that.
Right. It does a 360.
Yes. Yeah. So all that stuff Imagineers came up with. Yeah. Not outside companies, Imagineers.
Right. And everything they do is amazing. I just personally don't like the Tower of Terror ride. So that was where my comment came from. And then last but not least, and this is something that our youngest Nolan has started doing in the last year or so, is Disney pin trading. So when you hear of pin trading, you know, there are different places throughout the parks at different resorts where you can trade pins. It may be, you know, maybe you recently bought some pins and you're at one of these trading locations and you see a character you'd rather have, then you can take one off of that board, but then you have to leave one on the board to replace it with.
Update. Mm-hmm. You can now pin trade with cast members.
Oh, really?
That went away during that time we won't mention.
Yeah.
But it is now back.
Okay.
I noticed that when I was out there a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, so that's I think awesome. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, again, and, you know, some people choose to wear all these pins on lanyards or packs, maybe decorate their backpacks, whatever. But when you are at the different pin trading locations, a lot of times some of the stores will have it. Or again, different areas around like the front desk, maybe at your resort. That's how it works. So, but you, if you take one, you have to leave one.
And in Disneyland, they take it to a whole other level. Mm-hmm. I remember walking by some benches and people had the benches full of their own pins that nice. You could like pin trade them. I was like, wow.
Wow.
That's impressive. I added two more abbreviations to the list after I did this because...
Well, I did it too, but after we combined the list, yes, you added more?
I added two more.
Okay.
And the first one is MNSSHP.
Mickey's Not So Scary.
Halloween Party. Yes. You will see that abbreviated a lot. And for mm-hmm. some reason, I do not know why. Mm-hmm. Just say the Halloween Party.
Right.
But I have seen MNSSHP. And then... Back when we were planning our Christmas trip, mm-hmm. Erica was texting me and she would say MVMCP. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas
Party. So if you have a travel planner like Erica that likes to abbreviate everything, you got to figure out what the, I'm like, what is she, what is she talking about?
I mean, but if you just, I think she does that more with us because we are familiar with Disney, you know, and if you're not, just flat out say, hey, do you mind telling me what that stands for?
Yeah, just to ask. Yeah. So I had to think, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What is that?
And that, and I'm glad that you did think of that because during those times of the
you'll see it all the time.
All the time.
You'll see it on social media. You'll see it on Twitters, everywhere.
So again, Mickey's Not So Scary
Halloween Party.
Halloween Party, and then Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, all right, moving on to Disney trivia. We were talking about Hidden Mickeys earlier.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I thought I'd figure out and ask, what land in the Magic Kingdom is the smallest Hidden Mickey located in? Again, they come in all shapes and sizes. Right. Or not shapes, but they all come in all sizes, right?
Yeah.
They come from, in the Magic Kingdom, there is a full-size Mickey. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, your question, I was thinking, my initial thinking was either Adventureland or Frontierland.
So it is located in Adventureland. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to see. So if you go, if you're walking to Adventureland, you pass Jungle Cruise on your left, and then you have the Zanzibar Trading Company on your right, and you have an elephant, or not an elephant, but a camel spitting on you right in front of you. Mm-hmm. Go to the right.
Okay.
So if you look on the ground, you'll see, start to see a lot of like bracelets and trinkets and broken tile and stuff like that embedded into the concrete, which is supposed to represent like mud and dirt. Mm-hmm. You will find a an embedded necklace, what looks like a necklace. And if you look a little bit further to the left than that, you'll see a little bitty like silver trinket. Within that trinket is a Mickey.
Ah.
You got to be, it's tough to find.
Right, right.
When I found out where it was and then I went to go look for it, it still took me like a good 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
People are probably like, what is that dude looking at the ground yes. so much for?
So, this week's winner is from X and is Sweeney.
Ah, congrats.
Congrats, Sweeney. You are this week's Disney trivia winner. So, next week, I'm so pumped about this deal idea for next week. I'm excited about
Don't it. Don't share it yet.
I'm not sharing it. Okay. But usually when we get excited about show ideas, nobody else cares but us.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be fun for us to do. And I think if we're excited about it, then I think our listeners will be as well.
Right.
So next week's Disney trivia will be related to that. And I'm so pumped up about this one. I'm excited about it.
Yes, I'm afraid you're going to talk about
it. I'm not. All right. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to support the podcast, the best way to do that is to book your next vacation with Main Street Travel Company. Cost you nothing extra to do it. It's going to save you time, save you money, save you stress, save you anxiety, all that stuff. You can go check them out, www.mainstreettravelco.com. They're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And again, call them, 1-800-593-1262. Tell them we sent you. Take advantage of those exclusive offers, especially for our listeners. If you want to email us, we're at circleofparks@gmail.com. Our website's www.circleofparks.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X, all at Circle of Parks. And just thank you so much for listening. We hope we have kind of helped you.
Yes. Hope we helped, you know, just to kind of aid you when you're there or planning your trip to know what all these abbreviations in the lingo means.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon.